Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome back to Bitchin.
This is the podcast where we talk about people.
And then we get comments and we just love to hear from you all. And this week we have a very special guest, a woman very close to my heart, Nell Hodson.
Hello.
Oh my god, the sound effect. That's what my heart does when I hear your name.
I'm so excited.
Thank you for joining us, Nell.
Oh, it's a real honour. Yes. I've listened to every episode of Bitchin.
Oh my god,
it's Genesis. I'm your biggest fan.
You're our one listener.
That's who that is. We were wondering.
Yep, and the hate mail is me as well.
Oh, okay.
All the messages.
Why are you so obsessed with me?
Who would you like to talk about today?
I've chosen and regretted choosing Jordan Peterson.
I'm just so cross at you. I'm sorry. In so many YouTube holes.
How depressed was everyone after they finished watching all of his videos last time?
I wasn't that depressed.
Were you not?
No.
Oh, this really is going to get interesting.
It's going to get interesting.
Do you love him? Is that why you wanted to
talk about him? No, I don't love him, but I am here to make a case for him.
Oh, great.
Ooh, okay. All right, that's
good. In a hopefully non-offensive way.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
But as in, I don't like him really. But yeah. I just thought it would be interesting to... I mean, that's why I picked him, is and I thought he was controversial and
yes,
he's very controversial and very, very influential as well. Shall we start with how he came to prominence?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go on, Tilly.
Because it's not great, is it? Nope. As a rise to fame. Being annoyed by transgender people isn't really, you know, it's not, you know, you want to release a hit single or something, something fun, instead of just being
sex
like...
sex tape.
Yeah, a sex tape, oh God. Instead of just being like, I think it's wrong for trans people to have legal protection, which is what the bill was.
Yep. So he's a lecturer, academic?
He is a professor in psychology at Toronto University.
And Toronto University were bringing in a new...
Oh, no, it was Canada.
Canadian government. It was the nationwide legal bill. Bill C-16.
Did the bill pass?
Yes,
oh,
it did.
Oh, fabulous.
It did pass. So the reason that I got interested in him was this was obviously really controversial, but the way it was presented to me, which wasn't through the news but was through chatting to a friend about it, was that he was standing up for freedom of speech because the friend that I was talking to was
a man
a white man. Can I guess
he was? Oh my god, how did you know?
Was he straight?
I'm actually psychic.
But he presented it as there's this guy and he says that if he is with a transgender person and they say call me by this pronoun, he will do that gladly. But what he was against was a government enforcing words that we use in our language. And I thought that was interesting and semi-Orwellian. And I was like, oh my god, he's right. He's totally right. The government can't enforce words that we use in our language because the law is there to prevent us to do things. It's not there to compel us to do things. But on further inspection, the bill has nothing to do with actually what pronouns people are assigned, and it doesn't compel people to use pronouns. It just says that it's wrong to discriminate against people because of their gender expression or identity. So on further inspection, it was a load of fuss about nothing.
Yeah.
And he's transphobic.
And he's hella transphobic. I want to read a tweet that I found. Oh, I can't find it, but
it was one of his own tweets, was it?
No, it was someone else. I'll find it and I'll link it if we put it in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, a guy on Twitter saying that he used to teach at the same university that Jordan Peterson did.
Oh, yeah.
And that he was just known around campus for not liking trans people and they used to glue his door shut.
What?
I'm sorry. They used to just go and glue his door shut because they hated it.
I love students.
Yeah, I really do. Jordan Peterson clearly does not like student activists, but yeah.
That's so funny. He clearly doesn't.
It's like when you go away for the weekend, you come back and your room is all upside down and on the ceiling.
Did that ever happen to you at uni?
No, it didn't, but we did fill a person's room with balloons once.
Oh, that's quite benign.
Yeah. Well, it is, but then it's very annoying for them when they've got to spend about 3 solid hours popping balloons before they can get into bed. But I like the idea of doing it.
It's so funny that is a prank and also what you would do on someone's birthday.
Totally.
Can I just say on the transphobia issue that after I was done watching Hours of Jordan Peterson, which I don't recommend, I watched a video that my friend had recommended to me by a woman on YouTube called ContraPoints, and she is a trans woman who does videos on YouTube about politics and philosophy. She's very, very, very funny, and she has a video about Jordan Peterson, and it was a wonderful antidote to
him,
and his supporters more than anything. And I really recommend giving it a watch, and we will link to it in the Bitchin Twitter because it's a really, really fun video. And
what does she have to say?
She just kind of really critically analyzes what he's actually saying when he's talking about cultural Marxism and postmodern.
Yeah, because that was a real trip-up point for me. It's like, what do you mean by postmodernism, which he seems to fundamentally hate so much?
Yeah.
And I got various different answers about that. And well, what's funny is that Jordan Peterson seems to be someone who is so ardently pro-evidence and science and facts, and I think that's why he appeals to a lot of men and the alt-right, is because he's sort of, like, stridently, like, sort of, you know, fact-based. But he actually constantly contradicts himself.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
Constantly.
Yeah.
And in his 12 Rules for Life, it's ironic because one of his things is like, be precise in your speech. And it's like, but you're literally tripping over yourself all the time.
Did anyone else notice how he never says or
No,
he never uses fillers at all in his speech. He is so precise in his speech. But then, he would never do that, what I just did. Because I think for him that displays weakness or an inability to communicate yourself properly. And if you're saying and om, then maybe what you're saying is
my mum was on, the first time my mother went on the radio, they told her to not say or a. They said, just try not to say or a, try not to make any hesitation sounds. So it might be a thing, sort of old school.
I think that's a generational thing, and I think a lot of his politics is that, which is old school versus. He is the ultimate kind of confirmation bias, I think, for, like you were saying, for people. The thing I've only just come to terms with is the problem with progression is it does leave some people behind.
Yeah.
And if you are a white man who is feeling completely like this world is happening without you, and if identity politics is at the forefront of everything and your identity is no longer fashionable, then to have somebody really articulately, without ums and ahs, and very academically explain to you that actually all of your insecurities are legitimate, I think you don't have to be an inherently evil, bad person to then want to watch all of his videos, because it gives you the ultimate confirmation bias. And I can see why your friend was saying freedom of speech, because actually then you're finding something that's external to you and just your own like fear of something as a way of legitimizing just feeling really compelled to like him. I can imagine if I was a white man, particularly like in a university setting where everything's moving forward really quickly, rightly so, but that we do have to kind of come to terms with the fact that that is leaving some people out of the conversation and where they go.
And when you combine that with late-stage capitalism, what you have is a lot of young men who feel very disenfranchised from society at large. There's a really funny song from Bo Burnham called Straight White Male.
I love Bo Burnham.
It's really, really funny. But there's a line in it. in which he said, I can't remember the exact lyric, but it's like, we used to own all the money and property, and we still do. Now it's not as fun. And I was like, that's totally that's it. It's not fun anymore, really. He gives these young men a blueprint with which to live their lives. Mm. He says, these are my 12 rules. Yeah. And if you follow them, clean your room, your life will improve. And
He's also really handy. I have a lot of friends on dating apps where if a man has got him in their bio, it's really handy for knowing.
Oh, it's a litmus test. It's a litmus test. Left. He's become a litmus test. Yes. And it's interesting though, because he didn't set out to be this kind of Pied Piper of like white boys in their bedrooms, kind of.
Yeah. That sounds like something else.
We've already done Michael Jackson. So.
But yeah, it's interesting. I think you're right in that he definitely is the sort of father figure, really reassuring, really eloquent, like, I've got the answers, no ums and ahs figure. And yeah. I totally see the appeal of him as someone who's kind of, you know, it is, as someone, like, I'm left-leaning and I feel confused by the amount of information that there is and the amount of nuance that there is and trying to navigate that and not trip up in that. And he's, all he's saying is it's very simple and this is how you do it. And I can totally see the appeal. It's not my beliefs at all, but I completely see why, you know, because it feels so nice. When you have a strong opinion about something, it feels great. Mm. It's like, I know I'm right about this and I can argue my corner. And when you're not really sure about something and you haven't figured it out yet and you don't have all the facts, it's so easy to kind of just pick a figure like him or whoever your messiah is. You know, some people have that with like, oh, well, I just agree with everything this person says.
We shouldn't be apologising for holding people to account for saying the wrong thing out of fear of upsetting.
Totally.
But Jordan Peterson, I think, is using that fear of people saying the wrong thing to kind of push his views, which are extreme, if that makes sense. There's a difference between being worried about saying the wrong thing and trying to be politically correct and being what he is, which is actively against political correctness. Mm-hmm. And he's validating all those people who've got those niggles of fear into having full-blown, actually, I'm going to say whatever I want, even if it's offensive and transphobic.
Well, that's the thing, because if you look at the comments in a Jordan Peterson video, I mean, they're a total cesspit, most of them. And
YouTube comments in general.
Yeah, to be fair, YouTube comments in general, but also a lot of the stuff that I've read about people who go to his lectures and stuff, a lot of it is not necessarily people who are engaging with his actual ideas. They're actually just people...
Oh, they're straw manning.
Yeah, they're actually people who are going, finally, it's someone who's standing up for... me, because I got fired because I said the N-word, and it's like, no,
that's
actually, it's, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's what's interesting about him as a figure, is that both on the left and the right, people are strawmanning him. They're taking what he's saying and they're turning it into their own interpretation of it and running with it. And it's interesting that that's happening on both sides.
Yeah.
Can you explain what strawmanning is?
Strawmanning is where you take something that someone has said and you twist it into your interpretation of it, and then you attack that.
Yeah.
You attack your interpretation.
I do that all the time.
I think we all do. But like, for example, the famous Kathy Newman interview.
Yeah, which is an uncomfortable watch.
It's a really uncomfortable watch. And to be honest with you, I'm, you know, not on his side, but I don't think it's very well conducted as an interview.
She comes into it with completely the idea that he is basically a fascist.
Yeah.
Which I think, you know, I disagree with Jordan Peterson on nearly everything. Yeah. But I think we have to be careful about misinterpreting
in the role
people's
ideas. Of a news anchor as a journalist. You don't want to be too biased when you come in there. And she stormlines a lot. She sort of says, so you're saying that you think that women, and there is no pay gap, and he didn't say that. And then she sort of runs with that idea kind of thing.
Right. But it is.
But they do that on both sides.
Yeah, they do. And it's interesting in the ContraPoints video, actually, she talks about how, like you said, people do strawman him and misrepresent him, but also he does a very clever thing where he will say one thing in the context of something else, and it makes your brain connect the dots between those two things.
Oh, yeah.
And then what you do is you fall into his trap. Ooh. And you say, so you're saying that there's no pay gap, or that you're saying that women aren't disproportionately victims of sexual violence. And he goes, no, that's not what I said. I never said
that. Kermit the Frog voice.
Literally. And I think that is a thing that happens. But I do also agree that his ideas get misrepresented a lot. But by the people who give him money as well. So, I mean, he's responsible for that as well.
Yeah, that's a really dodgy thing, isn't it? Mm. Is that he's received all this funding from basically people on the internet being like...
I think he's closed his Patreon now. But at one point, what was he earning?
It was like $50,000 a month.
Oh my God.
From Patreon.
Crazy.
But they've changed it. So they've changed their laws controversially so you can't be a political figure anymore. Mm, which again is interesting.
But he's not a political figure.
Exactly.
He's a professor at university.
Why is he going around giving everybody marriage counselling?
How do you mean?
Have you seen there's loads of videos of him giving marriage counselling?
Well, he's a psychologist. He was a psychologist in private practice before he was...
I see. So and he's not just an academic.
He is a shrink. And I think that's why he's so... I'm not going to say persuasive in interviews, but he's overpowering in interviews. I could not have a conversation with him. I'd go to bits.
He does this dance where suddenly you end up being like... Bleh, bleh, bleh.
Yeah.
Like I've completely
absolutely.
Lost.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like you were saying, he sort of says two thoughts and makes you...
Yeah, connect
bridge
the gap. Yeah.
And it's a clever psychological trick.
There's an article in Financial Times that's an interview with him, which is good. And just to go back about is he political, his relationship with his followers? The journalist says here, but could he be encouraging his admirers to reinforce their prejudices to build up steam?
Nice.
And he says, no, I don't think so. They never talk about politics to me when they meet me. And I think that's really interesting because I do think that they feel like they have this personal relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
So to him, that must reinforce his belief that he's not necessarily putting out this right wing.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
That's very interesting. I've got what his own...
But then he's probably contradicted himself somewhere else.
Quote about how he identifies politically.
As a classical liberal.
As a British classical liberal, which is very odd that he puts the word British in there. Like, what's that got to do with?
Because when he says people don't talk to him about politics, they definitely do.
Yeah.
It's just they probably don't talk to him about, you know, the politics of government.
Yeah.
They're probably talking to him about men's rights.
About the politics of their own lives as they perceive that.
So he says, temperamentally, I'm high on openness. God, he's obsessed with the big five personality traits, isn't he? Temperamentally, I'm high on openness, which tilts me to the left, although I'm also conscientious, which tilts me to the right. Philosophically, I am an individualist, not a collectivist of the right or left.
Bore off.
I mean, there's definitely as well, like, for me, I find a lot of that sort of very technical language just a total smokescreen, and it phases me out, and I go,
completely.
I completely lost what you were saying. Yeah. And
He'll always use the longest possible word that he can for anything.
Yeah, that's on purpose.
It is completely on purpose. I'm trying to find this quote that's also from the... this is great. Okay, this is also from the Financial Times article. He spoons liquid into a bowl for him. And slides a pastry and a Spanish tortilla onto a plate for me. So he's having dinner with Peterson at this point. He often uses the longest word possible. He puts down a side plate and explains, "This is a subsidiary plate." I find
That's so
funny.
Yeah, that is
everything
the thing.
He says to me is so deeply hilarious.
That is the thing. I was absolutely wetting myself. Did you see the video where he's talking about women not becoming leaders or CEOs? It's like a lecture he's giving to some students.
Okay.
And it is really offensive and sexist, but I also was just really laughing loads because he's basically saying, and it's that personality traits thing again, he's arguing that women are just much kinder, nicer people, and you feel flattered that he's saying that. And he's like, and that's why none of you are leaders. It's not because, it's because you have to be essentially a psychopath.
That's what he's saying in the Cathy Newman interview, isn't it?
Yes, of course.
High on agreeableness.
High on agreeableness.
Which means that we're less likely to become positions of power.
And he's also saying
I'll
that...
I'll fucking show you agreeable, mate.
Lord knows. I love that. But it is just really... It's really funny because I think it is that. I think it's a feeling threatened because he then is talking about when he's teaching and he looks around the class and a lot of his students are women. And he's like, and that's awful and that's a real... And I worry, where are all the men and who are you all going to marry?
Yeah.
And I
so
just
funny,
know...
Isn't it? He's so old-fashioned.
He's so old-fashioned. But it is funny because obviously all the women in his class don't care if he's worrying about who they're going to marry because they know they're going to be fine. So it's chill.
Oh my God, did you see the bikini pics?
No.
Did you see about when his daughter tweeted a bikini pic at him?
What?
It rings a bell.
Yeah, just tweeting a bikini pic to own the lips.
Dad.
Yeah, so basically they're both on this all meat diet.
Yes, because this is another thing.
What? So both him and his daughter have
autoimmune disease.
Yeah.
And the only thing that worked to cure it for her was an all meat diet. Mm. And he was like, "I'll do it with you" to sort of support her, and it ended up curing his depression that he's had, lifelong depression.
Yeah.
And he used to eat vegetables as well, but now he doesn't even eat vegetables.
So he just eats meat.
Yeah. He only eats meat
for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
It's so weird.
I mean, fair play that he was being nice to his daughter, and also good for him that he's cured depression. Didn't hear that?
And also, let's be honest, he looks good.
He does look good. He's a charismatic figure, as people are.
Tilly's blushing.
The thing is, he just looks like an older version of my boyfriend. So I'm kind of, I'm into it.
Shall I tell you something nice that he did?
Throw a spanner
in the works.
Confuse us further.
Did
please.
You read or hear about the self-authoring program?
Yes, I did.
So there we go. So this. For your listeners, was a program, a writing therapy program, which is...
Are you sponsored by Jordan Peterson at this moment?
Look at me being his advocate. Which is basically where you write down your hopes and dreams in an online authoring program. And they rolled it out in the University of Rotterdam, I want to say, in McGill University. And it had incredible results. And dropout rates decreased by 25% and grades went up by 20%. And it's all by just saying, like, in 3 years, I want to get these grades and I want to be here in my life and I want this and I want that. Yeah. And if you continue to do that as a practice, then it really, benefits your life.
Because that's cool. Yeah, he says that writing about your life is one of the best things that you can do for kind of your self-esteem,
which is stupid because he doesn't like identity politics, and yet he's encouraging people to write about their...
I know, it's so funny that he identifies as an individualist but then doesn't like identity politics.
Well, in a way it's more that I think he's talking about more about the relationship with yourself and how the relationship you have with yourself isn't necessarily about identity politics. He's very interested in the hero's journey, Joseph Campbell, the idea of the hero's journey. And so I think that ties into the self-authoring thing of kind of, we're all the...
we're all Christ.
We're all Christ.
He's very into that.
We're all God. We're all like the leaders of our own destiny in a way. I've got a quote from him. So in the New York Times, he says, the lesson most patients need to hear, he says, is... grow the hell up, accept some responsibility, live an honourable life. And I think that that's something that, I mean, I can't believe that that's something that people haven't heard, men haven't heard growing up.
Mm.
But I do think that, that's probably the first time someone's told them that. And and they believe him because he is...
And what do we think about that message?
I think it's pretty... naive in a wider context, but I think I understand the power of it.
I think that's a really good point. I think with all of his 12 rules for life, and I haven't read the book, but I read the rules of the book, and I might read the book, to be fair. It does look quite interesting, but the way you put it just then, it's naive in a wider context, but you can see the power of it.
Oh, totally, yeah.
And I think all his rules that he sets out are that, basically, that, like, they sort of laser go in. Do you know what I mean? They're very digestible. They're very sort of like, oh, okay, that makes sense on a basic level. And
but also it's like tarot reading, isn't it, where it's about
it's
then...
It's just like tarot reading.
You make it applicable to you and you put it within the context of what you're going through, which is why I think if you're in any way oppressed, somebody telling you to grow up and take responsibility is quite enraging.
Yeah.
But if you're not, it's quite liberating.
Yeah. The people who like his work and use his work and put it up on YouTube and stuff, every time that there's like a title of a video with him in, it's like, Jordan Peterson calmly destroys 8 feminist bitches. And I'm like, whoa, we just need to like...
Yeah.
And then I watched the video and it was like they were just having a conversation. I know. I was like, and they were disagreeing
but
with
that's
him.
That's the confirmation bias, is you just come away agreeing with whoever you agreed with in
exactly,
the first place.
Exactly, yeah. Because I then watched that video being like, oh, they're really reasonable, and Jordan Peterson seems a bit angry. But someone else would watch, a supporter of Jordan Peterson would watch that video and go, oh my God, daddy done good. Isn't he great?
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Or even that they're like both reasonable. Like, he's in my opinion wrong and I'm on the side of the feminists. However, this is what I mean about him, is that the title of that video is Jordan Peterson destroys seven feminists, like watch him take them down. And actually it's quite a like intellectual debate really that he's having with people quite often. And I think that he's sort of done quite well, partly because Christopher Hitchens died. And there's this like straight white male authoritarian father figure gap that has been filled by him.
Yeah, I love that.
And the wearing of the suits, like you never see him looking not put together. You know, it's very that. And
you fancy him.
Listen, don't cancel me, bro. Yeah, I wouldn't have a conversation with him, but I'd have sex with him. So really.
It's systemic. Like the pay gap isn't just men and women are doing the same jobs and the boss of those two jobs is going, hey, you're a man, here's £10, and hey, you're a woman, here's £8. It's so systemic, and it's so much to do with childcare and how society views men and women and how society views mothers. Like 95% of men in this country don't take any of their paternity leave.
That's
people
mental.
Just don't take paternity leave, and there and I read interviews about like why that is, and a lot of it's to do with pride and ego, and like I don't want to look bad, I don't want to look like I'm slacking. And that's a lot to do with societal expectations on men. And I think it's interesting to bring it back to Jordan Peterson. I think that he's sort of almost trying to say this. He's trying to say the gender pay gap isn't as simple as that. It's a lot more nuanced, and there's a lot of factors about why there's a pay gap. But the way he does it is so incendiary and inflammatory. And I don't even know if this is what he actually means, but just to sort of vaguely try and defend him for some reason.
Cancelled.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I think that I was going to talk about how he is incendiary, because I think that he discovered fame and then he was like, oh, I quite like this.
You're so right.
Because he says things that it's just like, there's no need for that, mate, come on. And you can see the sort of glint in his eyes sometimes.
It's like he can't help it.
Yeah.
Like the GQ interview, there's a bit where there's like kind of like a vague moment of connection between the interviewer and him.
Yes.
In which that he starts talking about how he was a teacher and how he loved that job, because she's talking about how there's not that many male primary school teachers and how it would be nice if there was more. And Jordan Peterson, there's like a vague hint of a smile, and he's like, you know, I really loved that job and I loved working with the kids and, you know, I used to wrestle with them. And he's like, you can't do that now, obviously. And I'm like, oh, mate, can you have a nice time for like 10 seconds? It's not going to kill you. Like...
It's weird because he does, on the Russell Brand one, he really lets go and they laugh. They discuss in The Quality of Mischief, Russell Brand puts it as that. It's like, you have a lot of mischief in you, don't you? Like, you like to stir the pot. And Jordan Peterson laughs. He laughs out loud. And it's like, yeah, I do. And also, there's another one of his videos on YouTube where he gets out a Kermit the Frog puppet and is like, can you tell the difference between our voices? Lol.
I don't know why every impression I do ends up sounding like Cher. Like, do I need to see someone?
That was good. That sounded like Kermit.
Who goes?
Come on.
Come on, Jordan.
That sounds like Cher. It's so good.
That's amazing.
I don't believe in what you're saying, Jordan. he talks about the Toronto killer, and he says he was angry at God because women were rejecting him.
Is that the Toronto killer?
Yeah, the cure for that is enforced monogamy. That's actually why monogamy emerges. Half the men fail, and no one cares about the men who fail.
What about the women who've just been shot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's that kind of recentering of violence against people to put the sympathy on the side of the people who committed violence. And ironically, he is an individualist,
mm-hmm.
and with a lot of his ideas, he then removes the idea of individual responsibility, yeah. because ultimately every decision you make is your own. You make it in a context of societal pressures and everything that's happened to you up to that point, but you still make a decision to go and buy a weapon or mm-hmm. get a weapon and mm-hmm. kill someone. So I think it's interesting that in that kind of framing of it, and I do understand what he's trying to say, is trying to say that these men are being forgotten and that's why the violence happens.
That's so funny, because having just watched the GQ interview last night that you sent me, that is that the Toronto killer is presumably someone who arguably isn't very mentally well or stable and is an outlier, basically, you know, as much as he may be representative to a more extreme degree of the sentiments of a lot of people, of disenfranchised people, he's an outlier. But what was, and yet Jordan Peterson is sort of defending him and saying, look, that here is a problem based on this one outlier. Yeah. Whereas in the GQ interview that we watched last night, the female interviewer brings up how YouTube videos can lead to men becoming violent.
Yes,
and she gives an example and says, you know, videos on YouTube that seem harmless and seem like they're just intellectually discussing a certain topic can actually lead to someone going out, buying a gun, becoming violent. And she uses that as an argument against him and against his videos and against what he's standing for. And he argues back, oh, no, that's one person and that's a paranoid person and that's a mentally ill person. So he's totally kind of...
contradicting.
Yeah, using that for his own...
Get in the bin.
Of course.
Get in the bin.
Yeah, fully get in the bin.
When you start defending a man who shot women, you just, that's it now.
Good point.
Yeah.
And it is that thing about violence and the use of violence is a lot of people will have ideas similar to the Toronto killer.
Sure.
It doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to go out and commit violence, but I would argue that having those views is, you know, not good.
Definitely.
Not good regardless in how you live your life and how you relate to the world, so...
So that was Jordan Peterson.
What a wild ride. Call me.
Tilly's obsessed.
Thank you so much, Nell, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You're amazing. A blast.
Make any sense whatsoever?
Yes, my God, we
You're
had a great
so
time.
Smart.
Very, very
I've
smart.
Learnt loads.
So have I, and I had a good time doing it. Nell.
Hi.
You are an actress.
Mm-hmm.
What's coming up for you?
Oh my God, I'm actually currently in the third series of Victoria on ITV.
Fabulous. Yes, I heard there was an amazing actress in the second season of that. I don't know why she's not in the third one. Anyway, and where can people follow you on the social medias?
I'm at Nell Rose Hudson, I think, on Instagram and Twitter. Thank you for allowing me to plug myself.
It was a pleasure.
Helen's got a pegging kit.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
I love this podcast so much.
Oh,
it's so
we
good.
Love you.
I love
you.
It.
Please come back.
Thank you. Thank you guys for joining us. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Do 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 do
do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do
You've been listening to Bitchin, a podcast by Tilly Steele and Helen Monks. Our music is by Dave Cribb, and our artwork is designed by Luke W. Robson.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.